space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise.
So this is the fourth episode of TOS that we're going to be covering, and I'm joined by Modi Operandis to talk about this one. Modi, how are you?
I'm great.
We are going to be talking about Mantrap, and it aired... This was the original episode of Star Trek that aired on TV, even though it was produced much later. It was not one of the pilots. It was produced probably like sixth or something like that, I think. But the one thing, a little bit of trivia I learned, actually, is that I had a son who was born a couple months ago. And he was born on September 8th, 2016, which is to the date the 50th anniversary of Star Trek, which is crazy. I didn't realize it until recently, but it's fitting for this podcast, I guess. And so I guess we're going to take the discussion starting there. We're going to talk about Mantrap, which aired back on September 8th, 1966. It was written by George Clayton Johnson, directed by Mark Daniels. You're going to hear that name a lot. In this episode, a mysterious creature stalks the Enterprise, murdering crew members. It is the series premiere of TOS, and me and Modi are going to break it down right after this.
Fascinating.
So improbable, we almost didn't check it.
What?
Sodium chloride. Not a trace of it.
This man has no salt in his body
at all. Can you explain that, Doctor?
I can't. Except what we normally carry in our bodies is gone from his.
He would die almost instantly.
Ah, there isn't a mark on his body.
Except the red rings on his face.
You call that skin modeling?
I thought it was, sir. Another error on my part.
I'm not counting the bones. Are you in the mood for an apology?
Forget it. I probably was mooning over. I should have been thinking about my job.
Perhaps you were. Both Nancy and Crater went out of their way to mention one item they needed.
Salt tablets.
Mr. Spock, outfit a landing party. We're beaming down with some questions.
So, Modi, we had the two episodes that recorded. We talked about Where No Man Has Gone Before. That came out a couple days ago. And now we're going to talk about Mantrap. Thoughts on the production differences between these two? Do you have anything
to say
about that?
They've finally sat down and figured out how this stuff is supposed to work, basically. The casual nature that they whip out their communicators and whip out their phasers and all of it, like, works how you expect it to later, like, throughout the series, it works how it's supposed to work now.
Yes.
That wasn't there before, basically.
No, it wasn't there. They got it shockingly quickly to me. Even if this is like the sixth episode, this now feels like Star Trek. And I think Corbomite is going to feel like Star Trek a little bit before this. But this is now TOS. And I think that the biggest difference to me, the difference between TOS and TNG in terms of like tone and how the episode feels is... A lot of really good TOS episodes, and I think this is a good one, are very Twilight Zone-y to me. Mm-hmm. They feel sort of mysterious and not really... There's nothing beyond sort of the coldness of the mystery in a lot of ways. Could you imagine this episode in TNG? I actually couldn't, I don't think. I don't think this would work.
No, I don't think they would have done something like this, no. It is a lot of these early episodes in season one especially have that Twilight Zone nature to it. Yeah, I definitely agree with you.
If people don't remember, the Mantrap is the one where McCoy sort of goes back to a planet with the Enterprise and they have to give a medical test, and McCoy runs into a ex-lover of his, and all of these crazy shenanigans start happening. People are seeing the woman as a different person depending on who's looking at her, and then it turns out that the woman is actually a monster that is a salt devouring creature that kills people by draining them of their body salts.
You say it like that, it doesn't sound ridiculous at all.
Which sounds ridiculous, but I actually really like this episode. What'd you think of it?
No, I think the plot of this one is kind of dumb, actually, personally. Okay. But I do appreciate all of the. I mean, the acting in this is exceptional, actually. So it's kind of the opposite. I think I mentioned it in the previous episode, but it's the opposite problem where the plot is kind of dumb, but the the writing is good in a way.
Okay.
Like the dialogue is good, the acting is amazing, so it works better. The plot has a lot of good points though too, but it just kind of strikes me as kind of dumb, and they make some weird choices in it.
I guess we should talk about that. How come someone mentioned on a previous podcast that they appreciate when the people disagree. So I guess this will be our point of disagreement. Well, what didn't you like about the plot in general? Because I think it's pretty good.
I think it's good up to a point, and then it kind of doesn't go where I wanted it to go, I guess.
Maybe it's my own projections.
Okay. Yeah, the resolution is not good.
You don't like Spock just beating the shit out of a woman saying, "This is not Nancy"?
No, I don't mind that, actually. I was kind of cool with that part. I don't like that they made her back into the creature. I don't like that they revealed what the thing actually looks like.
Oh, interesting.
Because it takes away any kind of agency for Bones to make a decision on it. It kind of relieves him of the responsibility of the choice
by showing the monster.
And that's what I don't like. I wanted him to have to make a choice between the captain and his belief in the crew and the belief in his captain versus his heart kind of thing. And I wanted him to, like, be able to make that choice. But when they just, okay, I'm going to look at you, I'm going to reveal myself to be a monster, and then I'm going to look back for some reason.
Right.
I don't know if that was representing that he's seeing through the facade for the first time, or if she's actually revealing himself to her for some reason, or revealing herself to him for some reason.
Oh, I see. I took it as a reveal. Yeah. But
why would she? Why would the creature do that though? She's trying to convince him that she's on the level, and that's the best thing she has going for. Why would she all of a sudden switch out of her regular form like all of a sudden he's gonna be cool with you because you're a monster?
You know,
It takes away the agency for his choice there.
I think that the plot does have sort of a problem. Like, I'd also, going along with that, I think I agree with you that maybe not revealing the creature would have been the way to go. I think that it has another kind of problem along with it, where once the creature gets up to the Enterprise and is sort of running amok on the ship, it's clearly intelligent, right? Because it attends meetings as characters and can sort of talk to other people. Why is it so bad at just getting itself a supply of salt?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's trying not to be creepy. Like, there's the scene where it's Bones, and it's sitting there while they're talking about this. They're being really creepy, not saying anything. While it's sitting there being really creepy, not saying anything. Like, blend in. Come on.
It said, like, there's apparently, you know, huge amounts of salt on the ship, because they all have these, like, salt tabs and everything that they're giving it to, but... It struck me as just weird that the creature constantly needs to keep attacking people, just because, even though it's super, or not super, but even though it's like as intelligent as human, it seems incapable of just going to like the kitchen and getting some salt for itself, not being attacked.
The creature's got weird motives in general, because it's keeping Bones alive for some reason. Like, it doesn't kill Bones immediately and assume its form. It keeps Bones alive because it wants to be loved by him or something. I don't understand exactly what its motive is there.
Right. I think what they end up saying is that love is just as important to this creature as the salt is. And
so it needs to trick him, basically.
Yeah.
It's its motive, okay.
When she comes into the thing, she makes a big deal about his feelings are much stronger than Crater's feelings are on the planet. They're her old husband. So I think that she needs to keep him alive and also just knocks him out with some sleeping pills conveniently, so he can't be around.
They're talking about how, I guess the Professor Crater is at one point, it's like, oh, if it can have salt, it'll be peaceful. Except it doesn't do that. It takes the salt from Kirk, and then it immediately tries to kill Kirk.
I don't believe
you, Professor Crater. I don't believe you.
I think that Crater is actually the biggest problem in the episode, because he doesn't have any reason as to why he's keeping the animal alive. He sort of shifts motivations, where he's completely cool up front at the start of the episode. He's hiding everything perfectly. Then he kind of freaks out. Then he helps the Enterprise, but not a lot. He helps them a little bit, but only to the point where they're like, we're going to make you take truth serum.
That was weird too. We'll talk about that too, but yeah.
And then Crater to me is only existing in this episode just to push the plot further. He doesn't really have a reason as to why he's alive still and why he keeps protecting this creature, why he doesn't just leave the planet.
His motives are weird too, for sure. Yeah. It doesn't seem like, he makes some justification that it's the last of its kind and he needs to protect it for some reason. It doesn't. It's a thin motive to introduce late in the episode.
And the crew sort of debates that thing where it's like, oh, it's like the buffalo. It's like, should we actually kill this thing?
Not long enough for me, though. I don't feel like Kirk, like, came to that decision of killing it, like, really quickly to me.
Very quickly. It reminds me of in TOS, they come to the decision to kill things very, very quickly. They decide to strand Gary Mitchell on the planet very quickly, and they decide to kill this thing. Not that it's the wrong decision.
I feel like TNG would have deliberated a little bit more, though. They would have pretended to like think about it for half a second, maybe.
Well, TNG, Picard wanted to talk to the crystalline entity, which has killed like billions of people.
That's true.
Like, you know what? We should talk to this thing.
That's the weird thing, is that they have a more sanctity for all forms of life kind of thing in TNG, whereas here it doesn't seem like they do.
Well, this is more of like the Wild West, right? It goes into how the ship is just kind of out there in the middle of nowhere. It's much more of a self-defense type attitude towards their exploration, as opposed to let's get to meet everybody that's out here and sort of get to know them.
But I mean, they do make the argument that this thing can be reasoned with, though, and they don't. They say no, basically. Right, it's like, well, because the creator makes that argument. It's like, we can reason with it if we get it salt. And Kirk's like, nah, I'm just gonna kill it. So you know, I mean, it's killed six people. I'm gonna get revenge, kind of thing.
They could have just given it more salt and everything. But
they could have let, because there's like what you could leave the salt without a trick in it. Like was Poets' argument as the creature was. Well, what maybe you just offer it salt without the tricks.
They set up traps, apparently, that they claimed, and they couldn't get to it.
I don't know. Kirk made the decision like before they even had this conversation, kind of thing. Like he knew going into the meeting that what he was going to do.
And right.
It was about bringing them on his side rather than figuring out the answer to the problem as they would on TNG.
Yeah, you know, I think what's interesting in the difference between the series is that in TOS, there's no discussion of how to detect the monster. You know, like
it's true.
They're not interested in finding a solution to figure out which one of the people are the monster, which would be, I feel like that would have been the TNG plot line.
Yeah. And
it's much more in that sense. That's what gives it kind of the Twilight Zone-y vibe, where like one of my favorite parts about this episode is the cold open before the theme song, where Kirk, McCoy and the other guy beam down and they meet Nancy, and without hammering the point over your head, they show you that every person is seeing her differently.
Yeah.
And
I thought that was a big risk for the show to do right away, for the very first episode, very first scene of the very first episode, to take that kind of chance on it. It did like that they did that.
Yeah, yeah. And it's scripted in such a way that no one, you know, it doesn't happen and then they immediately bring up something. What they do is they actually bring it up in kind of a funny way where Bones starts to doubt what he's seeing, because he's like, oh, maybe I'm so in love with her that I'm seeing her as she was when I was in love with her, and I'm ignoring her gray hair, because Kirk has a line about, he's laughing about, well, she has a few gray hairs, Bones, that kind of a thing.
And then creator's like, well, next time you see her, I'm sure she'll look normal. Like, right. He's like, okay, now he's gonna pass along the information that you need to age it up a little bit now.
Yep. And then I thought that, like you were saying, I think that's a big, it's a big risk. It's interesting that they did that in sort of a 60s television type show. I think it's shot really well, and I think it's a great cold open to, because they don't explain what the problem is at that point. They just show you that something is very weird on the planet.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what makes it Twilight Zone-y, I feel like. They just show you the weird at the beginning. They don't try to get into explanations at all.
What'd you think of the character interactions here? We've got a full cast. This is your first full cast episode that you've been doing.
I feel like they really did a great job with Kirk and Bones. They did a bad job with Spock and Uhura and Sulu and Janice. They so-so with Sulu and Janice, I guess. But like Uhura and Bones and Spock were ridiculously bad characterizations.
What didn't you like about... The one scene that sticks out to me is the Uhura and Spock scene, which I kind of like and I kind of don't. So how about you convince me one way or the other, where they're talking about like they're flirting with each other?
Yeah, why is she flirting with him? Like doesn't explain, like she says something ridiculous, like if I ever hear the word frequency again or something like that. It's like, that sounds really stupid, by the way.
Yeah. It's illogical.
And Spock kind of calls around like, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you say that? It's like, oh, because it's bad writing. That's why she's saying that. But they don't explain why Spock is so cold at all in this. We know why he is, because we know the show. But at this point, he just seems like a dick. Like, yes. He doesn't, there's nothing to clue us in that, oh, that's how his, that's his custom, that his, that is how is it, he is. He just seems like he's just a very, like, literal person, basically, and doesn't like, give a shit about anybody else kind of thing.
He's very unemotional. I think they call him a Vulcan in this episode. I don't know if it's the first time that they do that, but they haven't gone into explaining.
Mention Vulcan has no moon, yeah.
Yes, they mentioned that he's from the planet Vulcan. They don't mention they haven't really tied in yet, at least we're sort of jumping around out of order because we're doing production order, but they haven't tied into the fact that what his, like, the Vulcan mythology or ethos is, mm-hmm. like this sort of logic-driven culture. He basically just comes across as cold and someone who likes logic, but there doesn't seem to be a greater good for it.
I mean, if you know the character and understand it, the interaction doesn't seem that bad, but I could, like, when looking at this with, like, I only know what's within this episode kind of thing.
Yeah.
It is. It's not a good characterization in general.
I think I'm just surprised, and we talked about this in Where No Man Has Gone Before, where people are kind of like playing grab ass while they're under like attack and like the ship is blowing up and stuff like that. I think it's just surprising to me that this is such a big difference between TOS and TNG, where there's a lot of these sort of like breakaway to interpersonal stuff in TOS that I couldn't imagine this happening in Next Generation. Like, all of these scenes in Next Generation happen like 10 forward or something. Like, it's apart from the action. And here it happens right smack dab in the middle of it. It ultimately ends in, I guess you could say it's a little bit of characterization, because the message comes in that three to beam back and one of us is dead. And Spock, Uhura gets upset that Spock does not be concerned that it might be Kirk who's dead. It felt kind of like a pointless scene to me, so I guess that's my biggest problem with it.
Yeah, I don't think that was a. They kind of were given, making have her take a stand on him immediately, and it didn't seem like that was the moment to do it.
Right.
But you I feel like if the captain was dead, Bones would probably would have led with that. Maybe.
Right.
Like, but somebody thought on it, you know. If he's like, they probably would have heard back already that Kirk was dead if that happened.
Yeah, instead we've got no name red shirts, but none of them are red shirts yet.
We don't name that there's one dead because he doesn't matter kind of thing.
Continuing the string of death that we've got
body
going.
Body count is high in this too.
I counted
nine, I think, in this one.
Yeah, because there's at least four Starfleet on the planet. And then even on the ship, things get changed too.
At one point in the meeting with Crater and Fake Bones, he mentioned six crew dead.
Yep.
And then they kill off Crater, and they kill off the creature. They kill off, I think, one more person still too.
Did you like the fact that I thought it was fairly progressive? You know, we've been sort of ragging on the show about how its treatment of men and women and stuff. I thought it was interesting that the creature goes both male and female. And it doesn't stick to one way. You know, the episode's called The Man Trap, but it also turns into Uhura's like fantasy of a black guy. Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird too. That was a weird moment, but I don't know. This episode has some problems for sure.
I think that the problem is that how it. So I guess the creature is basically becoming the thing that you'd most want. Right? Because one of the crewmen
it's
says,
reading your thoughts and designing a thing based on it, yeah.
Right, okay. And so, because one of the crewmen on the planet says, you look like a girl I met 10 years ago at some planet that couldn't possibly be you. And then
and Bones is visualizing the woman he used to know, and that's the image it takes kind of thing.
Yeah. How come Kirk saw her as an older woman?
It makes no sense. It's just basically defaulting to regular Nancy at that point.
Right. It's just not interested in what Kirk has to say about it. I think that I think it's a great episode for the Bones and Kirk relationship.
It is. That worked nicely as far as characterization and introducing the relationship, introducing both of them. I think it worked nicely.
Very friendly with each other and willing to, they have the sort of great scene where Bones screws up the autopsy and they sort of laugh it off. And Kirk's like, I'm not keeping track of, I'm not counting the times.
But in the prior scene, he was really pissed off and stormed out. Yes. That was interesting too. Like, it was kind of like a weird bipolar thing that happened.
Yes, just because Bones wanted to bring up the fact
people
that
dead. I don't care about your affections. Yeah, something like that.
I like Kirk as a captain. I think through these first couple episodes, he's very different from Picard. He's much more approachable, much more emotional, obviously, and more willing to sort of fly off the handle and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But his relationship with the crew. is something that I kind of feel like TNG almost didn't really do a good enough job with it. We're relating him to the crew in a way. I know that relationship's there and it's just very different, but it's not. Through the first couple episodes of this show, you really get the sense that the crew like each other in a weird, mm-hmm. in a way that you don't really get on TNG. What's your sort of general sense of the crew at this point through a couple episodes? Anything that you think is missing or anything?
Yeah, they like each other in a different way on TNG. It does feel different for sure. Kirk is the captain that you want to grab a beer with. Picard would never be caught dead, like intermingling, because I mean he has a more awareness of his station, maybe. I don't know exactly what Picard's problem is, but Kirk is making jokes, laughing it up, you know, nudge nudge, but then turns it on to you know, bad cop mode when he needs to, kind of thing.
Right.
But he also is, as we mentioned in the last one, the swashbuckling captain. He makes his own decisions. He doesn't care what the crew's opinion is on most things, I feel like.
Right.
Whereas Picard tries to get input and advice from people, it feels like. Or maybe not necessarily like there. He's trying to get them to sway his position. He does talk over his position a lot more, though. Whereas Kirk seems like, This is my way. Here's why you're going to agree with me, kind of thing. Maybe.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. Picard would be more willing to call it, like a conference room meeting.
Yeah.
And so you hear every character weigh in with it, and Kirk is,
and lay out the problem, and then they'll all arrive to a solution by going to the different departments and getting their input and that kind of thing.
Right.
Whereas Kirk has the answer going in, and just needs everyone to confirm it, kind of thing.
Right. He knows something's on the Enterprise. He tells them to go to red alerts and tell, like, get all your phases out. And like, he is the decider in this sort of mm-hmm. relationship with everybody.
Yeah. I wrote this down, but he also seems like he's quickly, first of all, he quickly jumps to killing, as I mentioned, the criminal creature quickly. But he also takes kind of an ends justify the means kind of thing with the truth serum as well. He jumps, like, immediately to that as far as,
yes,
getting coercing cooperation out of people. Like, he definitely has that kind of, you know, ends justify the means kind of attitude.
Yeah, we talked about it in the Where No Man Has Gone Before, but it's Kirk is much more of a, I think when I was describing it in No Man, I didn't do a good job, but Kirk is much more about, like, the safety of the ship comes first. Picard mm-hmm. was that way too, but Picard was willing to give leeway to the threat, you know, the quote unquote threat that was attacking them, and Kirk is not willing to give any leeway to that thing. He is.
There was a prime directive thing that always seemed in the back of Picard's mind when he was making decisions. There was always just kind of an ethical approach that was always almost tying his hands in certain ways.
Right.
Whereas Kirk doesn't seem to care about any of that. I mean, they don't have a prime directive here, really, I guess.
No,
this
they
point.
Don't. Right?
Yep. But he doesn't care about necessarily the morality of a question, rather just the results and safety of his people, kind of thing.
Yeah, it feels like they almost pay lip service to the ethics of it. You know, in No
when it
Man,
suits them.
Yeah, in No Man, he gives the kind of like, you know, it's like, he's my friend, how can you be so heartless, kind of thing. And then this one, he's talking about,
when,
like, the
when
buffalo.
It's his friend, he cares. When it's Bones' love, he doesn't care. That's the difference.
I like this episode, and I think that I like it. I really love the scene. It's just the scene where Spock double axe handle smashes Nancy, screaming, "Bones, how can you think this is Nancy?" as he beats the hell out of her. I really love that. I love that stuff. I love the. I think you've opened my eyes to the idea that they shouldn't have revealed the alien, though. I think that
I
makes
feel like
a lot
it
of sense.
Much better if they hadn't, and it would have been. You know, it would have explained his guilt over the situation. There's no reason he would need to feel anything for this creature at all. But he seems, even after he sees the creature, he hesitates for a moment, and then he fires off the phaser. But, you know,
would you have had the creature disappear, or would you have had it have stayed Nancy's?
No, I would say after it's like, did you lay it on him? Like, Bones, how could you? Or Plum, how could you? kind of thing.
Plums. She had a bunch of plums, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that makes a lot of sense. You might have to fix
it. Or show the creature afterwards, maybe after it dies, show the creature. And then
you would have been okay with that decision.
Yeah, I would have been okay with it at the end after it was dead, after it's given up all hope of surviving this. Like, I don't think there's any reason that it should reveal itself to Bones there in that scene.
I see. I understand what you're saying. I agree with that, where the Bones's decision would have been much more impactful if he hadn't known that it was actually
I see. And then it would be Nancy dying there, and he still has to fight himself to fire off another blast to kill it fully. Yep. And then it converts back to a monster, and you see that he was made the right decision, kind of thing.
I gotcha. Spock screaming. Then you
have a ratings board problem in the 60s. You have all these kind of like this show has a problem with violence already. Like, as far as we're reading, like, a little bit of the times about this episode surrounding it and that kind of thing.
This was one of the more violent things on television.
Apparently.
Oh, really? Interesting. Yeah. There was so much slapping on TV back then. I'm surprised that this is the. It's funny because the violence is so. The violence is so comical. You know what it's like? It's totally unrealistic violence. Even the when Kirk sneaks up and shoots Crater with the phaser is a funny effect, because it's like sort of stop motiony when he hits him with it, and it's just kind of, it's like nothing looks particularly real, or, you know, double axe handle smashing women in the face or whatever. It doesn't seem to come across
right at all. Like, they shot that one. Yeah.
Well, let's. I think we talked about the man trap quite a bit. I like this episode, but we're going to come. I'm going to play an audio clip. We're going to come back and give our final thoughts and ratings for the man trap.
Move aside, Bones.
What is going on here, Jim?
She's not Nancy Bones.
Are you insane?
It killed 4 crewmen. Now Crater.
It. The creature. It kills. It needs salt to live. Bones, move aside.
No! My guess is she needs more. You want it, Nancy? Come and get it.
You're frightening her, Jim.
Not fright. Hunger.
Look at her.
Leonard, if you love me, make him go away.
Come on. You want this, Nancy? Come on, Nancy, come and get it. Come on, get here it is.
Bones,
I can't find it. Get out of the way. Will you stop it? Get out. McCoy, get out of the way.
What's the matter with you?
Here, you want this?
Are you out of your mind?
Get out of the way.
I understand. I like the title and everything, but it's definitely giving Uhura her male fantasy through the monster. Seems to shoot the man trap aspect of this in the foot. Even though I think it's appropriate that the creature should change sex depending on who it's trying to approach.
Just going through the titles for these episodes too, I was shocked by the number of all of the crew's fantasies come true episodes, kind of thing. Like, they seem to do that a lot on this show in season one, especially here.
It's like a lot of dream
planet, all their dreams come true, and like, oh, okay, again,
a lot of dream fantasy sequences. Yeah. We'll give our scale of 1 to 5 about the man trap. I enjoy man trap. I think it's a really, I would have been impressed knowing that this was the first aired episode. I think if I'd seen a show like this, I would have been interested and wanted to watch more. In that way, I think that they made a smart decision to make this the premiere episode. Mm-hmm. I think it hits all the right things. I think that it does a good enough job of, you don't need to understand what the crew is doing. I think that the mystery is interesting enough. I think that I think that the alien design is good. I think that the way they resolve everything is good. The only thing that's kind of weird is that it's kind of a Bones-centric episode, which is
true.
It's a little bit odd that Kirk isn't taking the reins in this one, but I like this one. I think I'm going to give it a 4. It's definitely the best of the TOS episodes that I've seen so far in this early going. What'd you think?
I would agree with a lot of what you said there. I think the acting on this is exceptional. I think that there's some plot problems I have with it that could have made it better. But overall, it was an interesting, tense plot and a lot of fun to watch. I had written down a 4 at one point. I think I'm going to reduce it to a 3, actually.
Okay.
But yeah, I still like this episode. It feels like Star Trek, which I like. Whereas in a way that our previous episode did not really feel like Star Trek yet.
Yeah, I would think it's a stronger 3 than Where No Man Is Gone.
Yes,
right?
Maybe I'll stick with a 4. Okay, I'll give it a 4. All right, you're right. I can't give it a 3 and the other one a 3, so I have to give this one a 4 now. Yep.
Yeah, I think it's just such a, it feels like Star Trek, like you were saying.
Yeah, it
does. Like, it feels appropriate, it feels right, and even despite all the problems that it has, I think it's what it's trying to do, it accomplishes in this episode, and I think that's kind of important. Where I feel that maybe where No Man Has Gone Before kind of didn't accomplish everything that the show is trying to do in that episode, because the scale, the epic scope is a little bit too big for a 45-50 minute episode of TV. This one feels like the perfect little story that fits in a Star Trek episode. And I think that goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Yeah. Well, I guess we're pretty much done with this one. I enjoy The Man Trap. 4. Both of us give it a 4. If you guys enjoyed the content and you're on YouTube, like and a comment's appreciated. If you're on iTunes, a rating and review helps get the show out there. You can rate us on all your favorite podcatchers. You can go to facebook.com/ThePenskePodcast and go to patreon.com/ThePenskePodcast for a couple dollars a month to get extra content. We just finished Total Recall, the movie, the 1990 Arnold Schwarzenegger film. So if you're interested in that, go to patreon.com/ThePenskePodcast. Otherwise, we're going to be continuing our Star Trek rampage here. I forget what episode is coming up after this. I'll have to look at the list. As always, we're not doing every single episode of TOS, but if you have a couple favorites that you want us to cover, a couple people have chimed in saying that how could I be so stupid and leave such and such an episode off? And I have to agree with them, unfortunately. So I'll be doing a couple more of those. Modi, thank you very much for coming on again.
Of course.
Thank you for joining us on our TOS adventure. What's your sort of, give me some like very high thoughts about TOS so far, where you're 2 episodes in. Anything you're looking
forward
to?
They're very different episodes, though. Like the sweater episode can't compare to the current production value of this one.
Sure.
Like I said, this one it just feels so much more natural, the way they use their tools. They just dive right into communicators and phasers and all that stuff without like any apology for it, kind of thing, any explanation for it. And I do appreciate that now. It seems like they've sat down finally and actually laid out a little bit of a story bible maybe now, of how the universe actually works here.
I find this with a lot of 60s television. I have to pay much more active attention to these episodes than I did to TNG episodes. Do you feel that way, or is that just
me? I would agree.
Me?
Like I definitely think so.
I feel like
I can kind of have TNG on in the background where I can't have this on the background kind of thing.
Yeah, if I zone out for 3 minutes, I feel like I miss a lot in a TOS episode. And
despite the episode being like 5 or 6 minutes longer too.
Right, and generally slower. Like they tend to talk about things for a lot longer, but you sort of have to pay active attention to really get what they're talking about in a weird way. It's like it's almost like the episodes aren't as good at giving you all the information you need in a sort of concise, interesting way that modern television can do. And I don't know why that is. Probably more because they're written like stage plays where everything is just sort of, I think I talked about this on The Prisoner, when people in the 60s television talk, they do it in kind of this flat way where I don't know what the information they're trying to emphasize is. And
Everything's equally important then, kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. Everything's equally important, and you have to really actively pay attention. I find them a little bit exhausting to watch in that sense, where TNG is much more of a white noise kind of show that I can have on and I can absorb it more easily. Maybe that's just due to my familiarity with it, though, but... if you agreed, I guess that is a point in my favor.
I fell asleep during I was tired, but I fell asleep during the opening credits to this one, and I woke up and it was over, and I was like 3 episodes down the road. I'm like, oh, yeah, this isn't even the same episode. Good, I'm not lost then. Okay.
You're up to like the movies or something by that point. But yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate you coming on. You'll be back with another couple episodes coming up. We'll get all the big hits out of the way. Guys, thank you very much for listening, and I'll see you next time.